Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. This week, we are joined by Jason Vandyboom, founder and CEO of ActiveCampaign, to talk about communicating with customers during COVID-19. Great to have you on the show, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
So Jason, tell us a little bit about your background and the company that you founded, ActiveCampaign.
Sure. So I am, from a background standpoint, early on programmer at about 12 or 13 that ended up going to fine arts school and then started ActiveCampaign to essentially pay for art school. So we've been at it since 2003, so quite a while in today's day and age. So it's transformed a little bit over time, but what we do today is really help brands communicate, help brands engage with their customer base. And we do that through customer experience automation, where you find really the best blend of that personal touch, but also automate and save time for business owners.
Great. And then did you find, as you were launching ActiveCampaign, did you find that that background in art school helped you at all, maybe from a design perspective and as you thought about customer experience?
Yeah, definitely. And starting with that programming background, leading into sort of the arts, which was more illustrative and so not really digital in any way, but you kind of combine fine arts and programming together. It's essentially product. So I spent a lot of time there, still do today. And yeah, that's been immensely helpful.
And so, well, you may have already given it away with your background, but maybe there's one more kind of fun fact in there. One thing we always like to ask our guests is, what's one thing that no one listening to this podcast will know about you?
Yeah, that's a fun one. Going back to like early on, we were selling on-premise software, and one of the versions of the software we kept working on, or I kept working on more personally, was a version that didn't need a database at all, meaning the database was just in a flat file, text file, which sounds horrendous because it was, so it didn't really provide a ton of value, but pushing something to that sort of limit and trying to get something work with something that shouldn't, that's kind of exciting. So like, that's something I'd love to, I was hoping to get time within the next year or so, but I don't know about that, to bring that back. I don't know if there's no purpose for a product from 2003 that uses a flat file database, but it'd be fun to play around with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, very cool. Well, let's dive right into our topic for today, which is communicating with customers during COVID-19. I was excited to speak with you about this, just given your background and what you all do at ActiveCampaign. I think it's super relevant here. So let's start at kind of a 30,000 foot view. How should SaaS founders, revenue leaders be thinking about communicating with their customers in this time of crisis?
Yeah, I think it's really shining a light on the importance of that. So the fact that, yeah, you should be communicating with your customers, and really that's no longer some luxury or when you have time. But also I'd say the expectations are higher than ever in terms of providing something of value. I think the rush to communicate with customers, especially in a time of a crisis or some sort of economic situation where maybe you're trying to drive sales or something like that, can really hold your business back. And I think we're seeing some of that in the market as people just rush to get messaging out, thinking communicating with customers is just like sending out a bulk broadcast, and that's going to actually land well and resonate with people at any time, let alone a time where it's even, the requirement expectation is even higher.
Right. Got it. So just kind of step one, you have to be communicating, especially in times like this. Part number two here is you have to communicate, but don't just rush something out for the sake of it. Really be strategic about what are we communicating? How are we doing it? You know, how do we want our customers to be left feeling, you know, on the receiving end of this?
Exactly. And knowing that there's no, so like, you know, with a situation like this, we're all in this together in one way. In the other way, every single person is living such a different experience at the moment, right? So messaging, timing, all of that can influence someone either really in a positive way or not so positive way. I like to think of any time you go to create any sequence of communication from any type of channel, always thinking about it as like, that's your last potential time maybe to communicate with someone. Thinking it doesn't take a lot for someone to, this isn't even about unsubscribing from an email list or something like that. It doesn't take a lot for someone to start to have a bad sort of feeling or impression about a brand or to start to just push that off to the side. Even if your emails are still being delivered, even if you're still getting opens or something like that, your ability to destroy your reputation is enhanced, especially at a time where, like, I'm sure a lot of different teams are looking to increase leads or increase, and they'll start to move towards things that will almost over communicate and in a way that maybe won't resonate as well for everyone.
Yeah. So let's keep going there. So you're an interesting, you're in kind of a unique position heading up ActiveCampaign, because I'm sure you all just have so much data on the way folks are communicating during this time. What's an example of, you don't have to name the company, but what's an example of maybe what a company did that really stood out to you as a best practice here and kind of the right way to go about communicating with customers during COVID?
Yeah, so I'd say what I've seen that really works well in general, and especially now, it just takes a little more effort now for someone to do it, is to really go super personal, meaning, like, obviously segment it down, personalize your messaging, things like that, but give it that human sort of touch. So people crave human connection in general, right? And right now, even more so. So having, like, simple things, like having messaging come from an individual, if at all possible, like, it's not always possible to scale, but having replies go to that actual person and, like, letting imperfection. I think the best things I've seen lately are very imperfect, meaning feels like it's emotion. It feels like there's a human involved with the messaging. On the flip side of what we see that's not so successful is that overly corporate feeling, standard, hey, here's our, you know, we're working from home now. You may or may not care, especially if you're on the vendor, right? Does everyone need to know what you're doing? In some cases, absolutely. In others, you just wasted an impactful moment where if someone read that, now you don't have something of more value that kind of was able to be consumed by them.
That's a really interesting point. Actually, the fact that it feels imperfect, making it more personal and then feeling like a real meaningful touch point. Taking that one, you know, what, drilling down one level deeper into how folks can put this into action. For example, when you're thinking about people using ActiveCampaign to communicate with customers, prospects, whatever, in this instance, are you saying that using, for instance, kind of a plain text-based email without all the crazy bells and whistles and formatting and images in times like this actually can resonate more than a very, you know, corporate looking with the header and you've got multiple images and kind of the button with the CTA? Do you think that just the simpler, more toned down version of that will resonates better in times like this?
Definitely. Cool. I would add to that, though, that I feel that way in a lot of cases, even outside of this situation, right?
Right.
So I think a lot of the things that really resonate with people just span, and it all goes down to personalizing that too then, and not just like hello first name or something basic like that, but like really figuring out, like, what is the smallest group, the smallest audience I could fine tune down to with what I know about them from a, maybe it's purchasing history or stage of interacting with your company. Take that time to figure out how small of a slice can I operate with. How can I customize the content? Now, that's going to be like way more work than just putting one thing together. That'll maybe even be successful for 60, 80% of your audience. But at any time, I think we all value every single lead and customer and all of our revenue. The other thing I found and seen that's really successful with brands we work with are the brands that bring not only that human sort of messaging across to customers, but also bring a way to have an actual individual talk to them. And that definitely is harder to scale, but that's why it's so effective. It comes off as a little bit more unique, and it comes off as, like, actually helpful.
So just going one step further to make it super tangible for our listeners, could you give an example of how a company has done that really well and they've gotten personal, they've gotten kind of personalization down to the right level and made that work so that they're communicating in a way that's really resonating and coming off as authentic?
Yeah. And I'd say you have to be a little bit careful about how far you go as well, right? Not to completely contradict myself, but So in terms of like the stage or what they've done with your business historically and whatnot, if you start to and start to segment based off of certain themes and think about everything as a theme versus like an actual data point, if you start to use actual data points about an individual in messaging, that comes off fairly odd and perhaps borderline creepy in terms of knowing a little bit too much what they're buying. But I'd say it's more about just the simple things of like where they're at, what they could possibly need with your business in terms of a SaaS business. If you know the vertical and whatnot, bringing ideas to them that are unique and not in a sales pitch manner. I think what doesn't work right now would be just trying to push promos heavily without leading them with ideas of what could work for their business. And if you're a SaaS platform, you have data about hopefully the vertical, their business, and how they've used your platform, come up with additional ways that they could unlock value for the current time and bring those and try to narrow that into as small of a slice as possible.
Got it. One of the other things you mentioned was around being thoughtful about how you communicate. People don't necessarily need to know your every single move depending on the nature of your business, right? If you're the fact that your whole team's working from home, in some cases, it's kind of like, whoop-de-doo, didn't need to know that. You know, that's, it reminds me of some of the jokes and memes. You've probably seen them on Twitter and elsewhere about how people are just receiving this onslaught of COVID-19 updates from every product and service under the sun. And many of those are seemingly kind of irrelevant or unimportant given the situation. So any other tips there in terms of how folks can approach their customer communications so that their customers and prospects don't feel overwhelmed with these types of messages or that it's just not really hitting right, like the way it's supposed to?
Yeah. And I think what you're describing is like, if you start fitting that pattern of people just communicating kind of the same thing over and over, it just becomes noise. And it also starts to, at least personally, like I think of it as there's all these brands that have never really engaged with me historically. And now I know how they're working. And then we're like why did it take a pandemic for them to even communicate with me, first of all? And then why do I care on the other side? And I think it's that if there's no value to share, don't message. Like it's at all, despite being a marketing platform and focusing on customer experience, like fewer messages and really figuring out how do you fine tune it for the smallest audience possible is far superior to just like sending in bulk and in group. And at the end of the day, I think some of it comes through, if you're not careful, is almost bragging about your business and or maybe the good you're doing for your team or how you're operating or how the business is still thriving. Now that comes from a good place. I don't think people are intentionally trying to be like bragging about it or anything. But if you think about if you have a business and how you message, you want to show that you're still stable. Obviously, you still be able to provide service and things like that. But you don't want to make people feel even worse about their situation. And I think continually bringing it up also can be a problem. There's a level of exhaustion of...
Yeah, you get that fatigue.
Yeah. And at a certain point, people are looking to like, okay, we know where we're at. Most businesses, especially most SaaS businesses, probably don't need to be in the business of news. And so when people are reading content and whatnot, they're looking for help. I mean, they're a customer for a reason, mm-hmm. but they're looking for help on something specific. And that's what you provide value in. Right. So instead of like reiterating like how terrible of a time it is, and that's true, how can you help them in whatever small way by providing more value to their business to help them get through this time?
Right. And that's almost the antithesis of what as a company you want to be projecting, because as these prospects are, maybe they are feeling fear or they are feeling uncertainty, and you just want to almost counteract that and show them and give them hope or give them certainty in a time where they really need it most, because that's what's, you know, going to help provide value to them and create more of like a genuine conversation.
And so another thing we've seen really successful with a number of brands is really taking what they're seeing in terms of success with other businesses from similar verticals to who they're messaging to, which are just basically ideas and strategies and whatnot, and just sharing those. It gives you that, to your point, that hope and whatnot. It also gives you ideas, and it may not be something completely 100% applicable, but at least if you bring it into a smaller segment on smaller audience and you have it at least vertical or something, maybe there's something from that story, from what they did, that gives you a little bit of a light bulb for your customer, and then they're able to find some success.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think a lot of these points you're making as well, I think highlights the importance of the, what channel you're using. If you're a startup, say you're a SaaS company, and you're just saying, hey, we've got a progressive culture, we're all working from home, we're doing XYZ for our employees during this time, that may be important for company branding for future hiring, but may not be as relevant, to send a blast email to every single one of your customers. So kind of choosing the right channels to convey those different elements also. Yeah.
And on that point, I'm a big believer in just like authentic messaging in general, and just like marketing through authenticity. And so like to even that point, like getting that out there or like communicating that some way, you should be taking these same tactics and using them internally in terms of messaging, right? And that's all that more important today than ever before. But I think if you do it in an authentic way, you don't even actually have to go overboard and create some giant presentation or section of your site of like how you enable people to, or how you support the team. That'll come through based on your employee base. They'll come through reviews and social and things like that from people. And that authenticity will just be miles above whatever you could possibly do in terms of like organized marketing.
Yeah, I completely agree. So we've talked about this a little bit, but when should companies make the decision to do nothing and hold off on communicating altogether, kind of despite everything that's going on? You mentioned if there's nothing of value to share, better to share nothing at all. Is there anything else that folks should have in mind when they're thinking about, you know, they're kind of making that call of whether to communicate or not?
Yeah, and I think it's not even always having to wait. It's just continue to explore ways of like, how do you find something like something to engage a certain group of your audience? Meaning like if you get to a stage where marketing or sales is thinking about doing some engagement that would probably drive value to probably 50, 60% of who you're engaging with, like stop that right away. Figure out how do you bring that into a smaller grouping. Additionally, how do you even go, once you have a smaller grouping, how do you try to test out a couple of different variants or try to get it even closer to be personalized, where no two contacts share the exact same experience ideally at the end of the day? That's hard to do, but that slowness will oftentimes, one, it's the whole purpose is to get a better customer experience, but by going through that, you'll probably get an actual better message, better campaign, better thought into the whole thing. And I think right now what we're seeing, and we're seeing demand like in terms of campaigns and things like that, that we normally don't see unless it's like a seasonal event or something like that. So people are messaging very heavily, and that the really successful companies and campaigns and whatnot are the ones that are pausing and taking it step by step. And that's hard to do if there's a demand to get leads, business, things like that. But over time, I think they'll be the more successful companies.
I think the other important point there that you brought up is it's important to get aligned as a team internally, whether it's marketing, sales, customer success, the exec team, on what should these new metrics be? Because you've got your lead gen goals, you've got your revenue goals. And if you really stick to those during this time, and you know that's kind of your North Star, and you're not going to vary off that path, then it can really get messy with those downstream effects and the decisions that you make. Out of desperation, you may send a blast email that is going to miss the mark and be quite off-putting to a good chunk of the folks you're sending it to. That may cause degradation of your brand. That may cause you to lose goodwill and lose a lot of that brand value that you've worked so hard to create. So I think that's another key piece here.
Exactly. And then that hurts you over time, but ultimately it actually hurts you at the time where you need it the most as well, because you're not even getting the most out of your engagement with your customers right now.
For sure. So we've talked about some of the common mistakes that you've seen companies make. Any others? We've talked about kind of over communicating. We've talked about communicating maybe the wrong way or with the wrong message through the wrong channel. Anything else on that front, just tales of caution that you'd want to share with listeners?
Yeah, I think definitely what I'm seeing a lot of is either the wrong type of content or doing it in an overly formalized manner. I think the other thing would be, it's interesting, companies that are not engaging as much as they should out of fear of contraction or churn, meaning platforms that...
Oh, interesting.
If you surface like, hey, you remember us? Like, we're that thing that you pay for at the office that you don't go to anymore.
Right.
And there's been a number of cases like that. And we've seen some brands do campaigns that are definitely hurting their short-term revenue, like absolutely hurting it. But doing it in a way where they're offering different things, whether it be credits or at least like being upfront with what's going on. And I think those brands are getting a lot of loyalty. It'll be interesting over time what happens, but I think that idea of trying to avoid churn at all costs or trying to avoid contraction at all costs ultimately can hurt over time, obviously, but also like if through messaging and whatnot, if you're only trying to push more and more revenue and you're not still making it easy or approachable for someone to talk to you about maybe spending a little bit less or something like that, then you just lost a customer in general. So it's a very specific example perhaps, but it's an interesting one we're definitely seeing.
I think that's a really interesting point, because I'm sure there are plenty of companies finding themselves in that boat. Hey, maybe we just lay low. They'll kind of forget about this recurring, you know, SaaS fee that we have every month, every quarter, every year. And hopefully we're not on the chopping block when they go to reduce costs, as most companies are doing right now. So I think that's a really pertinent point about, you know, it's do the right thing and step up and be out in front of your customers now more than ever when it's relevant. And I think the companies that, time will tell, but I would reckon that the companies in that example you gave that are holding back and not messaging there are really just punting the problem to their accounts receivable team, because they're the ones that are going to have a hard time collecting on, you know, a service that maybe their customer wasn't even using because either, you know, they weren't in the office or just business was not operating as usual.
Yep.
So let's shift gears a little bit to who owns this internally. So at a startup, you've got folks wearing so many different hats and roles are changing kind of left and right. Who do you recommend taking ownership of this internally in terms of kind of owning, all right, here's going to be our communication strategy with customers. Here's how we're going to execute on it. Is this the customer success team's job? Is this more of a product marketing exercise? Is this something that should really just be done by the exec leadership team and the CEO? How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that the actual like operation execution of it and the various like engagements you could have, that could be done anywhere, whether it be marketing or some operations or within success. I think though, as a whole, either companies are bought into an idea of ensuring the sort of thought and focus on actually caring about the customers and the engagement they receive or not. So I think it's an absolute necessity and probably can't work without like the CEO and leadership really buying in and having an actual like authentic passion for the topic, because that'll be the check. Yeah. Because otherwise you'll have, inevitably it has to be split up. Like sales is going to be engaging in certain aspects. Marketing will be engaging in certain aspects. Success will be engaging other ones, maybe trying to do strategy, and in some teams maybe trying to do some upsell and whatnot. And you need that like check amongst everyone. So everyone has to be in it. But like, if you're too close to a goal you're trying to solve for, you can start to distort like what is a good experience. You can start to distort like what is allowable. Like if 50, 60% of the base actually will find value of this, but not everyone, let's just go for it. Like, it would be great to have someone else sort of check that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like that's a good way to think about it. So we've talked about best practices. We've talked about, you know, the opposite of best practices. So what to do, what not to do. What about folks that find themselves in the middle? Maybe we've got some listeners out there who have started down a communication plan or communication path with customers and prospects that wasn't the best. Have you seen companies do a good job of course correcting after the fact and kind of cleaning up their approach to this? You know, maybe if they started off on the wrong foot, kind of getting back on track.
Yeah, and it's sometimes in terms of like an actual process they had. I think that's what we've seen. And this kind of goes back to the how much do you really want to gate like cancellation, churn, things like that. And how much do you want to make it just easy to do business with? Because at the end of the day, buyers are more and more buying based on knowledge of what a customer experiences with a brand. And that is super transparent now because they can just go to G2 or elsewhere and see experiences from real customers, and they don't have to just rely on analysts or whatnot. I think we've seen in some very specific situations, whatnot, people just being, going back to that, like just be human about it and be like, you know, we're now rethinking this or that. We hear you, things like that. Yeah. I don't think at the same time, you don't have to beat yourself up on anything. So just if you feel like it wasn't the best engagement process, just start to, once again, just slow it down, and think about how do we just make a small piece of it actually ideal and start building off of that foundation versus trying to like, how do we fix messaging for everyone? So you just start with your prospects, really dig into that. And if you haven't already, a really good way of thinking about your customer experience, just map it out on like a whiteboard, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Once you start realizing how much you, especially at certain scales, how much are you interacting with your customers from different teams, with different channels, with different systems, to fully map that out takes a little while, but that really helps you understand the journey someone goes through as a customer. And then it's usually when people go through that mapping exercise and whatnot, they have some pretty big like aha moments of what they're either missing or what they're overdoing.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point, especially as they may be using multiple tools and systems as part of that customer journey. And where, you know, they're going to have emails related to sales team and implementation. They're going to have more transactional product marketing emails. These may be coming from different teams. And so I think that's a great exercise to have. It's just mapping it all out, making sure that you've got that full visibility on what the customer is experiencing and seeing from the communication coming from the company. So.
And then definitely look for places where they overlap or could contradict each other. So all too often, like the situations people get into where they have to like reassess and almost apologize would be the situations where one tool doesn't know about what something else is doing. So like you're doing an upsell while they're having extreme issues and working with your support team or something like that is a very basic.
Interesting. Yeah.
So as you map it out, just think through like every scenario where it could sort of create a non-ideal customer experience. List those out as well, so that while you're building things out, you're also gating and ensuring that a less than ideal customer experience can't happen.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Those checks and balances are key to make sure that otherwise it's as clear as day to the customer that internally you're not at sync. which isn't the message you want to be leading with when you're going into those renewal and upsell conversations, especially times like now. So Jason, we've covered a lot here. We've talked about what to do, what not to do, how to go about messaging, who to involve internally. I think we've really kind of covered the gamut. Are there any final thoughts, tips, or tricks you want to share with folks to summarize?
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of the ground, and really it kind of all goes back to just not rushing, engaging with your customers, and it goes against instinct, especially at a time like this, but less messaging is far more effective. People's perception of your brand and the buildup and advocacy of your brand can be destroyed much faster than it's created. So really taking that time, trying to create that culture within a company to think about it that way and to really value the idea of providing a customer experience. Not only is just a enjoyable, helpful, value adding, just like your product or services, but something that is just absolutely memorable for them.
Great. I think that's a great way to end things here and wrap it up. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And thanks for sharing all these insights with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.